perhaps you're on the ground spasming like you watched an anime show from...
Oh, like a Pokemon when it used to cause people to have seizures?
Yes, but the look you gave me as I started into that, like...
I was confused. I was like, why does anime make you spasm?
But you usually, look over with disdain, like, just shut up. I'm trying to...
I was confused. This deep, dark, black heart.
Yes.
It grew one size that day.
Yep. Made my shoes shrink. I don't know how that works. You know, science, I guess.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. And I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
Welcome to the 24th episode of Dead Zone the Podcast. In this episode, it's all about zombies. As always, you can go to deadzonegame.podbean.com to see all the pictures, or now you can search YouTube for Dead Zone the Podcast and see the video version of this episode. And now on to the show.
Welcome to yet another episode of Dead Zone the Podcast, episode 24.
Episode 24 of the Dead Zone Podcast. Now, my name is Jack.
I'm Rob, and this one looks to be about zombies.
This is going to be a zombie-themed podcast.
It is October.
Oh.
So we're having a zombie theme.
Oh, hey. Mantic, you and your cross-promotion with the pagan rituals of whoever invented Halloween.
I think it was the Irish.
Oh.
We'll blame them. Anyways, yeah, so zombies. Mantic is doing a big push on zombies. And, of course, they like their Contagion that just came out. And they do have a Contagion box set coming out that has 30 plastic zombies, plague zombies, AI deck, Ruined Battle Zones, and the Contagion Rulebook, and it's a pretty good price. What is that price, Jack?
That price is £29.99 or $49.99 for US.
Yeah. So it's pretty good. Nice picture of all everything that comes with it. So it's a great way to get into the game if you wanted to play solo, that's for damn sure.
Yeah, if you didn't have too many people around and you're like, okay, because the AI deck is going to make that a possibility.
Plus the zombie rules is also...
Zombie rules. You're covered, Bob.
You just buy a starter box, starter set, main rule book, and this, and you're set.
I've not yet played the zombie rules or the AI deck, but if that's what you had to do, that's what you have to do.
They also released a lot of great pictures from the zombies. We have a Chovar fighting some zombies, which is cool. Oh, and they also have another package that's 75 zombies for £50 or $80, and you get 75 zombies. And that's a deal they're having until October 31st for Halloween. So go to their website, find that out. And the best thing about the zombies is they're compatible with the Kings of War zombies, so you can mix and match and create some, like, you don't have to have, I think there's 6 different designs in the box, so.
So they neither have a fantasy aesthetic or a sci-fi aesthetic, you could use them for...
Yeah, you can use, like, the ripped up pants from the fantasy with the sci-fi tops, or vice versa, and mix them up.
Okay.
And more Pikachus. We got some, we got the Edek Pamir, I think his name is, fighting some zombies.
Now, if someone wanted to see these pictures and follow along with us as we, as our dulcet tones fill their ear holes and make them sleepy, how would someone go about taking a gander?
You go to deadzonegame.podbean.com if you want to just follow along, or you can go onto YouTube, search for Dead Zone the Podcast, and find us there, and that'll do it for you.
Good.
So yeah, check out these pictures, because they are great pictures. So yeah, we got some, the zombies design I think are really nice. You can see that they used, see all these ripped clothes and stuff, that's from Kings of War zombies.
Yeah, which, since they don't have a particular, like, look, they're not wearing plate mail, or nor are they wearing like a hazmat suit. They can fit into the either one.
And then there's some more of the sci-fi ones with the helmets and things.
But that's a smart way to do it.
It's a great shot of a bunch of zombies in different configurations. And there's the zombie ripping off his lower jaw, it looks like. He's a pretty creepy one.
Yeah, yeah. And you say that they recommend at least 40 zombies for a...
Yeah, for the zombie rules, contagion rules.
The contagion rules. So if you really, if that's what you want to do, it looks like before Halloween,
yep,
grab yourself a big box of zombies.
Yeah, more great pictures of the zombie hordes. They are really well done. The hard plastic in them gives a lot of great detail. And Dave here, I'm sure it was Dave, did all these pictures. They do a really good job, I think.
And the design is nice. They're not plague, but they're not
yeah,
human looking. They have a very angular, very nasty. They're not a rotted human zombie. There's something going on.
It's more of a disease for sure. Looking.
There's something going on. It's just in the design.
And the other big news coming out of Mantic is their upcoming Kickstarter for Dead Zone. There's not much news. We got a little teaser. And that teaser is they put a picture. What would you call it? Yeah, a teaser, I guess. Just something to get everybody interested in it. And they had it with Dead Zone Infestation is coming. So I think we got the name of the next Kickstarter. Infestation. Obviously involving the vermin. Hence the infestation. And it's they said towards the end of the year. They haven't given a definite date yet.
Well, I'm looking at the picture now. It says trigger phrasing confirmed. Parts of the local comms records. Please stand by. And I'm like, okay, well, it's looking like a transmission, an emergency broadcast transmission. Yeah. But then it says outbreak, virus, pandemic. That doesn't sound like the vermin, does it?
I don't know. But infestation is what I thought.
Oh, could be. Like,
that makes sense. And also, vermin, like rats do carry disease. Maybe they're having new rules about. And I think they, in Warpath, I think some of their weapons do shoot like diseases and stuff, like poisons and stuff.
Oh,
okay. So maybe that's what it's going to be, some kind of. And that, look in the background, it's like, what is it, a mountain? What is that?
Well, there's someone clinging to the bottom of that. If you look closely on the bottom right-hand side, there's something clinging to the bottom of that walkway.
Yeah, I don't know what any of it is, but.
Well, there's some they've seeded that picture with both visual cues and some hints in the text. So
they're really good at that, especially when Dead Zone was coming out. They did a lot of this kind of stuff.
So we'll
flying the plague plague invasion. And they also had some pictures of new battle zones that they're going to be in this new sprue bits. So this one is like a pipes kind of to put on the wall, make it a little more industrial. Here's a better shot of the individual pipes. It's kind of neat to have like a piping system that they're going to put into it, so you can a little more detail.
That's just adding details. And I'm sure it would work for cover because it's in the square, but it.
But it also kind of implies to me like some kind of mining place or something, some kind of industrial, you know, maybe for the next Kickstarter.
I think they're going to have to keep adding small tidbits like that to add to the basic parts, because if you want to differentiate buildings or make them, because eventually.
Yeah, here's like a computer terminal that they're using as a connector.
If you had enough of these sprues, if you had enough to build a bunch of buildings, they'd start to look all the same, even with color variations.
Yeah, and here's it looks like a industrial kind of walkway too, with the diamond plating and the new type of railing. It's kind of neat.
Yeah.
So you can see these are concept sketches that they're doing. And now Mantic also said if any of this sparks any ideas of your own, whether it's for scenery, rules, or new miniatures, or vehicles, let Mantic know. Email them or contact them on Twitter. Check them out on Facebook and let them know some of your ideas.
Did you let them know that Enforcer APC should be
involved? They know my feelings about such things.
They probably do.
But also, we had the idea of doing a dungeon and like a cave system for
interactive. Or interchangeable between the. Yes, in our last full podcast, we had stumbled upon a. Kind of a
interesting idea. Yeah.
So did you pass that along? Did you?
They listen. They should know. Come on, Mantic. You listen.
You do listen. You know you listen. We know you listen.
And another piece of news is that Jake Thornton, the designer of Dead Zone, put up a new FAQ. So you go to his website Quirkworthy, and he has a living FAQ there for Dead Zone. He's got some new stuff. And we're just going to hit on some of the new stuff that he's done.
That he's questions that people have posed to him, and he's given a definitive answer to something that may or may not be clear. Okay, well, what do you got?
Well, he had a lot of information on Overwatch, because obviously so many people, just like us, don't find it great. But we still like ours better, so really, read it if you want, but pretty soon we're going to have our Overwatch, and it's going to be better, so listen to us. But he's just clearing up a lot of questions about how Overwatch stays, and. Because if you don't use it, it stays till next round, until your activation. So you could have Overwatch for like a round and a half, pretty much. It's kind of weird stuff.
So let me get this straight. Because it's a long action, and it's a pretty big investment to make, bikes, they extend it through until their next move.
It doesn't go away at the beginning of the next turn. It goes away at the beginning of your activation.
So if you activated someone first in Overwatch and moved him last,
he could have Overwatch for like two rounds, really.
So it's up to you to parse it out to be a long action. I guess
it's a little. Yeah, it's a little advantage for people to, so that, yeah, you're wasting a whole action, so you get to keep it a little longer.
Okay, well, at least they're addressing what we must not have been the only voices in the open field of you know, yeah, questions for Overwatch.
I guess he's had a lot of people asking about Overwatch, and it's just because it is not very clear about many things about it.
Okay.
And another thing that's come up with our fights is that if you end up killing one of your own models, your enemies, multiple, if you're playing multi-games or just one-on-one, they get the VPs for that kill. Which is kind of interesting, because that's come up a few times.
Yes. I
you do nuke your own guys quite often.
And I have, I mutated one to death.
Death, yep. So I would have got the
VPs. You would have got the victory point for that.
Yeah, so it's interesting. Because his explanation, which was really interesting, is that say it's the enforcers you're playing, the guys back at base don't care how that model is killed, they're just happy it was killed, right?
Yeah.
So if it got killed while you're fighting it, you get the points for it. They don't care who killed it, like, you know?
Yeah, sit rep, and they call sense. In and go, yeah. Oh, we have this many casualties, yeah. And they go, oh, okay, well, and we have this many confirmed kills.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, well, good on you guys.
Yeah. So that's why they're doing it, which is it's a good explanation.
And it addresses something that is a valid question, so, yeah.
Because it does come up, and it would have, I'm sure people, like, for us, we were just like, yeah, whatever, it doesn't matter, but other people would argue.
He could have come down either way, and had a reasonable explanation, but obviously it needed to be addressed, and now it is.
And another thing is, people were asking if constructs and vehicles get experience, because they're not alive, but they said that they do get experience, because for vehicles, obviously the crew gets better. So they're gaining experience, not the vehicle itself.
Right.
And for constructs, it's like the AI inside the constructs is learning. So it's
constantly evolving. Yeah.
So it does get experience, which is good.
Vehicles and constructs in Dead Zone. What does that entail? That entails the...
Constructs are like all the sentries and things like that. And I think even the Asterian... ciphers might be constructs.
Okay, that's where I was going to...
I think they might be. And vehicles are obviously the bikes or the mechs.
So those probey things and all those things, but my big question was, yes, could the Asterians gain experience points to the Cyphers?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they gain.
Because it's the person that's in it. It's like a vehicle.
Yeah, for the vehicles, or the Cyphers, there's somebody else controlling it. They're not just AIs either.
Yeah, so they're like a vehicle, but
they're not there.
Not there.
Yeah, it's remote.
Okay.
So it makes sense. Yeah, it makes sense that they evolve. And it's just, like, it's obviously they have to, but that's an explanation why they do. Because obviously they have to get better if you're doing campaigns, right?
But again, it could have come down on those probes that give Overwatch that came with the original set.
Yeah.
If they said, that's not a character, it's I can designed, see those not, it's yeah. function. And
I think anything with a card should gain experience. I think that's what it is. So.
Those things have cards.
I don't think the Enforcer Sentries don't have cards, but the Reb Flying things do. Yeah.
So. But for the sake of simplicity... rather than say, okay, this does this. Here's the complicated list. Check and see which ones you're following.
It's like, yeah, everybody just gets experience.
They do. Done. Thank you for asking.
Yep. And another question's come up is about zombies and if they react to Overwatch and free actions. Because I think in the book it says when they do, you know, like do their move. But free actions in Overwatch were outside that kind of, because it's out of turn and things.
Okay, yeah.
So, but they're like, yeah, obviously, they're still making noise when they're doing these things, so they do, the zombies do react to it, it's cool.
So that,
that's just common sense kind of thing.
It might be the enemy acting on your turn.
Yeah, with like a...
Because of one,
Overwatch or something.
One of these things, but...
It'll still activate the zombies.
They are still shooting.
Yeah.
You still hear them unless they have the stealth or something.
Or the other one.
So, okay. And I...
That's a common sense one.
Yeah, a minor clarification.
Yeah. And another one is each side can have a unique model. So we both could have Nastanza say, because he says that, well, obviously one of them's an imposter. So it's like, that's why you can explain away why each side has the same model.
We've had this discussion before.
Have we?
Yeah.
But they, so that's an explanation.
That's not the side we came down on. But...
We're like, no, only one person can have it?
Yeah.
Well, right now we only have one model of each, so it's not like we'd ever, could ever do it.
No, but we had that discussion that I wonder why.
Well, I think it's a tournament thing. So if one guy brings the Stanza, how do you decide who gets to keep it?
Right? Oh, like they.
So if both guys can bring
a list that's been pre-approved, and then through round three,
all of a sudden you're fighting a person who has the same unique character. Yeah.
Okay. So for our instances, as
it's just us playing it,
hobby gamers who. Dead Zones are one of.
Well, some people do play much more aggressively than we do.
Wow.
You know, like, actually care about the rules. And last but not least, enforcers, this is neat. Like, I never used an enforcer engineer because I don't really like sentries. But enforcers, engineers, if you can get agile on them, you give them agile by either experience or some way to give them agile. They can pack up their sentry and move in the same round. Usually packing up sentry is a long action. It counts. How they explain packing a sentry up is that it takes a sprint action. But agile makes a sprint action short action, so you can do both. Which is kind of interesting that he came down that way. I think that was just a simplification of the rules, where it's like, we said it was a sprint action. Agile makes sprint action short, so, therefore this is a short action.
Yeah.
Which is, it makes sense. He's agile even at packing up his kit, not just running across the board.
And it does, because they put agile, the sprint action as the packing of the kit, you wouldn't then be able to extrapolate and go, well, what if I had an agile sniper? What would he be able to move and shoot? Like, it is very specific to, it was attached to sprint. So.
Yep, sure. And so right now we'll take a short commercial break. We'll be right back. And we'll have some other things.
It's going to be a good one. Hang tight. This commercial will rock your world.
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. Dead Zone is the tabletop game from Mantic Games. Please visit them at manticgames.com.
And welcome back.
I hope your worlds weren't rocked so sufficiently that you're discombobulated. You can't seem to function. Perhaps you're on the ground spasming like you watched an anime show from...
Oh, like a Pokemon when it used to cause people to have seizures?
Yes. But the look you gave me as I started into that, like...
I was confused. I was like, why does anime make you spasm?
But usually look over with disdain, like, just shut up.
Confused.
You're the only guy to do this podcast with me, but I don't want to hear your yammering. That time you looked over like, huh?
Yeah, I didn't. I was confused until I figured it out in my head.
Oh, okay. Wow.
That's all. So let's just talk about the stuff we've done this week, which isn't much.
Our segment is going to be the our hobbying segment.
Yes, our hobby. So, have you done anything this week?
No.
Or this since our last talk?
No, I have not.
And this time I actually did something, and it wasn't much, but I did my Strider. I put them together. I magnetized them up, and. We have some pics of how it turned out. I think he turned out okay.
Oh, he looks good. And I didn't magnetize. I knew what I wanted in my head. I knew even before the thing even showed up at the door what I wanted.
You had been planning for a while.
Yeah. And you said you're going to magnetize. And it was I thought, that's a bold move because that's a lot of work. No, you can't see the magnets.
I think it turned out okay. It was hard. That plastic is hard to drill into.
Well,
I think I ripped some skin off my hand while I was doing it.
Some blister action.
Yeah, but it's the good thing is it's big chunky parts, so my magnets fit in. I think I have 1/8 magnet, and they fit perfectly in the. I did it from the elbow joint down and the faceplate, the cockpit.
Cockpit. So without bearing the lead, yes, you can not only replace the arms to make the. Enforcer version with the big gun.
Yep, in the silvered cockpit.
And the cockpit that is enclosed. You can also then pop out the cockpit, which is also magnetized, and pop on the Rebel cockpit with the flamer and the chainsaw.
Yep, or you can even give him the Enforcer gun if you really wanted to.
Well, let's not get too crazy.
But I put the flag underneath the cockpit. It's the open cockpit for the Rebs. So I want to do three different cockpits, so I used all three. And I put the flag on it to try to give it some interest, and I roughed it up a bit to look like it's more damaged.
And it does. It's a big flash of red color. You can tell that it doesn't have the same... Mind you, the rest of the chassis is still the gray and the black of your Enforcers, but you can see that it's probably... Well,
it's been stolen.
Rebs got a hold of it, and they put up their banner, and now it's theirs.
And I changed the angle of the flamer because it's just really heavy. And the magnet wasn't holding it well, so I changed the angle so that his flamer was kind of pointing down more to give it more support and less pressure on the joint.
So the magnet doesn't have to work as
hard. Yeah, the magnet would turn it, like it wouldn't stay straight up, so I changed it a bit there. The hardest bit was actually getting the enforcer arms to line up with the where I put the enforcer gun, because it had two joints. It's easy with the flamer and the saw, because they can be in any position, doesn't matter. But to get the arms in the right spot to hold the enforcer, to magnetize it, to make
connection. Maximum connection at the shoulder joints.
And that turned out the best, amazingly. So.
It looks good. It looks good.
And then lastly, I had the same flamer and chainsaw, but I put the destroyed cockpit with the plague inside. And I think it turned out a lot more blood going
on. And it's battle damaged. It changes the look of the...
So I can use it all L3, which is effective.
Yeah. That's what you wanted to do from the get-go, and it works.
It's a good shot of the back.
Yeah, that looks good. There's a picture of the back.
And I coated it in the Army Painter Dark Tone shellac stuff, and it gives it like an oily look, like it's been oiled and
yeah, it looks a little grubby, mechanized. It looks mechanical.
Yeah.
Then you put those that three hold kind of like a shield, thing on the shoulders yeah. Which I almost did when I first built mine, and it looks really good.
Yeah, it gave it a different different feel on the shoulder.
That's the thing about just adding those little bits, like there's rockets, there's the flags. You could probably feel the tournament of like bring your Striders, Striderthon 3000, Strider on Strider violence, and you could probably have everyone's look different if you had like a, you know, 5-on-5 or something. It just from the pieces, the sundry pieces, they just happen to.
Yeah, there's enough in there that you can really mix and match. I've seen people do mods for 2 chainsaws or 2 flamers or.
Which means there's they had to have purchased 2 Striders.
Well, with the Kickstarter, you got 2 Striders. But we shared them. Like, yeah. Some people got, you know, 2 Striders for themselves, so they mixed and matched.
But at some point now, you can't put the 2-armed gun on the other one. Well, you'd have one's going to be a plague. Well,
yeah, one would be a plague or Reb one or.
And, but I'm thinking by game standards, perhaps if you're looking for more like diorama, just making a nice looking model, because it is.
Or if they're even using it for different games, maybe in like 40K or something. Maybe there's a mech that has 2 chainsaws. I don't know.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Who knows? So I'm thinking for Dead Zone because that's what we enjoy. That's the game we enjoy. This is why we do this podcast out of the kindness of our hearts. But yeah, I there's gonna be other motives. So
yeah. And they are cool looking little mechs.
It's a really nice looking. I was looking forward to it before I got here, and I was
pleased. It was, yeah, it lived up to everything I was hoping.
There was high expectations, and it lived up to it. And yep. if you haven't gotten a Strider, just do it.
Yeah, and especially for the price, I think they're $20 for a Strider. I think it's definitely worth $20.
Oh, yeah, I do too.
Yeah, like they're nice.
I do too.
And yeah, it's still that rustic stuff. But it's I find in this it seems to be it's a lot chunkier, so it seems to hold its shape, and I guess what people always complain about rustic is it doesn't hold shape well and stuff like that. But it's so chunky that like there's no part that you'd bend. Like there's nothing that's bendable in the whole thing.
The one leg, if I got another Strider, I would bend the one leg. I would change because all the Striders either appear to be crouching at a slow, like a careful walk, or sprinting.
Lunging forward. Yeah, mine's kind of lunging.
Like lunging forward, or the. Or sprinting, like that one bent leg and the one straight leg. I think if I bought another one,
you try to bend it up, and
I would make him standing upright, like erect, and
yeah.
Just to change it up, because it's one of the few things on the Strider that you just have no control.
Yeah, it's one piece. The legs are all one piece.
Yeah, you can twist the.
That's for the feet. Hips. The feet are different.
Yeah, you can twist the hips a bit. You can do some other stuff like with the feet. Like I pivoted my feet a little bit, but
yeah. Yeah, me too. I cocked one out.
If I was forced to make a change, like if someone said, what would you change if you got another one? It would be, I'd stretch that leg out and make it stand different.
And just as a word of warning, I've noticed that a lot of people, when you put it together, it's easy to make it leaning back. It's when you put the model together, you can easily make him, if you put his feet right next to each other, it looks like he's almost like leaning backwards. And just when you put it together, look at him from the side and make sure he's standing up straight. Because I've seen many that they got a weird angle to their backs. So just a little tip.
Yeah.
Just the tip.
Just go buy one and don't make him don't make him a drunkard who's who can't keep his balance as he's stumbling home. Hey, Rummy, what are you doing over there? Can't get home.
The only other thing I wish was that the Enforcer Strider, his both hands weren't on the gun, or that you could choose not to have both hands on the gun. As is now, he's holding the gun, and it looks like he's ready, but he's not firing. I wish there was a way to make it either him firing one-handed with a, you know, chainsaw on the other hand, or even just have the gun up, you know?
Oh, okay, okay.
Because as it is now, he has to have that gun. Like, there's not much you can do. That gun's in that position, unless you're doing some major mods and shaving off things and building new hands and things.
I can see that. Just, again, as a diorama, if you had 2 or 3, or if you were playing with them, they all are walking with weapons at the ready, so.
Yeah, I wish there was a way to put his gun up, or because I would have probably done it.
That looks good.
But he's still cool looking.
Oh, yeah.
And for the basing, none of the pictures here show the basing. All I did was put light gravel and heavy gravel, so it's kind of like gravelly under him. So I was like, I was at first going to do like more rubble and him standing on something, but then I was like, I just want the gravel, something basic.
No, I didn't ask before, which base did you use? Did you use the MDF that came with it?
No, I used the same base you did.
Okay.
Which, yeah, I still don't know why there's multiple bases, but I like the plastic one. It's a little smaller. It's harder for him to fit on it, but I think as you play the game, the smaller the footprint the model has, the easier it is to get around things.
For us in particular, we play a pretty built-up battles, yeah. You know, like so. And the MDF seemed a little thin, like in the height dimension, it seemed pretty thin and light.
Yeah.
And my concern is not valid, but when I was putting it together, yeah. It didn't seem to have the weight and the diameter
and the ballast for the heaviness of it, yeah.
For something that was so. You pick up the Strider and you hold it. There's weight there.
He's a chunk. But the thing, he's really well balanced. He sits on his base really solidly.
So whether that was unfounded or not, we went with the plastic bases and they work fine. I like it.
And we'll take another quick break here. We'll be back to talk about something else.
Listen to our commercials, damn it.
Do you like Mantic Games? Do you want to read about your favorite games in a monthly magazine? Have we got the offer for you? Iron Watch Magazine. Iron Watch brings you the latest news, articles, and short stories taking place in the Mantic universe. Dreadball, Kings of War, Dead Zone, Warpath. You want it? They got it. Ironwatch.wordpress.com. Get it now for the low, low price of free. You can't beat that at twice the price. That's ironwatch.wordpress.com. Download now.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast.
Was that even a commercial?
I don't know.
Because I refuse to listen to these after I edit.
And you put in the commercials whichever you want, whenever you want, so...
Yeah, who knows what that was. Anyways, let's have a little discussion about... It sounded very Canadian, that one.
Hey, dear boy, you want to talk about
The Flyers? The second Kickstarter. We were starting to discuss some stuff about the second Kickstarter at lunch today.
Yeah, we were in the studio, we did some Vinland Old Time Radio, we did some other stuff, and we were just like, okay, got a little rumbly in the tumbly, ran out, grabbed a burger, and a Thanksgiving Day burger, and now we're back, and during that time, that brief hiatus, we, talked Dead Zone. And one of the things we had discussed was... when this Kickstarter was going, the Wave 3 was going to end, when the second Kickstarter was going to start, what we were going to get from the Wave 3, and what we were hoping for in the new Kickstarter. You said there's a teaser, and as soon as we went in that direction, you went, hey, save it for the news.
Yeah, and we talked about the news, the infestation.
So now what we're going to do is we're just going to talk about all those things now and include you into our...
And what we know and what we think we know.
And what we want.
Yes, and what we want. We've talked about what we want. We talk about that often. But first of all, let's talk about Wave 3. There was a lot less offered in Wave 3 because it was pretty much just the stuff that hasn't come yet. All the metal stuff wasn't offered. I don't think most of the metal stuff. There was some, but...
It wasn't a big... I expected a much bigger list. Yeah. There wasn't anything that piqued my interest.
It wasn't like jaw-dropping. It was just pretty much, hey, here's your last chance to get some stuff for the Kickstarter.
There was just some stuff, like...
It was like the enforcers, the plastic enforcers, a lot of the heroes, or the mercs.
Yep.
The Asterians, Forgefathers, obviously.
A couple Battle Zones.
Mechs again.
A couple Battle Zones pieces.
Yeah, all the Battle Zone bits and mats, things like that. And the one I was excited about was that there was, after putting together the last zombies, I was like, I want more zombies. And they had a great deal on, I think it was 20 zombies for $15, something like that. So.
Have you already put the order in?
Yeah, we had to get it in before October 3rd, so it was okay to put it in.
Because right now, I was just like, throw a Strider on there. I was getting on there.
Well, we'll see what happens. And maybe there'll be new Striders in Wave 3, or in Kickstarter 2. Okay.
Because I did, you were just, I interrupted you just there. Go on. What was your shopping spree?
And then this only other thing was Asterion Booster, because I want the Sky Razor.
So you got the Asterion Booster.
And zombies.
And the zombie pack. Okay.
Because we were thinking, more battle mats, but we're getting a lot of other battle mat things in.
Well, I said the battle mats would be interesting, maybe even getting like two more. But Rob came up with the thought that battle mat will look like the one we have.
Yeah.
It's very nondescript. A lot of the stuff gets covered over with the terrain. So sure, it would be all right to get that battle mat. It's nice. It's the most pad mat.
Oh, it's a beautiful mat.
Your thought was, though, they made such a good mat the first time around. They're probably going to make another mat.
Yeah, we're assuming, because already for... Mars Attacks, they already have two different types, at least two different types of mats, similar mats. So we're hoping that in the next Kickstarter, they'll do a new Dead Zone battle map.
And sure, it's just aesthetics at that point. It's just literally the look of the map. It'll have a different, maybe a grassy area or maybe
mines like we were talking about.
Yeah, or a big, you know, like sewer grate burst open and, you know.
Something. Or even a landing zone or something. That'd be kind of cool.
So, really.
But, so we held off buying the old mats, hoping that there'll be new ones. And other than that, so then for the next one, we know it's called Infestation now. At least that's the working title. They might change.
So that's the end of Wave 3.
Yeah, Wave 3 was it was just a little end cap to what was in Wave 3 there.
It's over. October 3rd. Sorry you missed it.
Yeah, if you're in the Kickstarter. But like I say, now's your chance to get on the Kickstarter 2.
Kickstarter 2. And Kickstarter 1 was gave over a year's worth of good pricing on stuff.
Yeah. That's the thing, like, people complain about the shipping, and it's because they had to get things fixed up, but it also let us have great pricing for over a year on all the items.
And as long as you're on that Kickstarter and you've pledged so much...
Even if you pledge a dollar, you're into the Kickstarter, so...
And then at that point, you can see what takes you. So, so even, just from me to you...
Even if you're not interested, pledge that dollar just so you can get these surveys.
Because you never know what's going to come out. You never know.
Because that's the thing, in Survey 2, they put all new stuff in it.
Yeah, stuff that, even if the stuff that you saw and like, okay, I'll buy this,
I'm not interested in Vermeen or whatever, but you don't know what they're going to end up throwing on those surveys.
Because what came, Striders came.
Yeah, extra Striders came with it, because at first it was supposed to be one Strider for the price we paid, and then because they had to switch to doing them in Restic instead of Resin, they made it cheaper, so they...
And trust me, the Restic, way better than the Resin. It was a good move.
Yeah, the Resin was, I have the Pathfinder on the bike, and she's Resin, and I find it very brutal. And it's scary to play with her because she feels a lot less sturdy, you know?
Well...
For a mech, it might be different. It's going to be a big chunk. Like, I know the Iron Ancestor and the Goblin one are made out of resin. And I'm sure they're fine, but I drop models constantly.
One wrong move and you could have snapped the sandwich right out of her hand, and it would have been a nightmare.
So, yeah, you would snap the gun off, maybe, and that would be nice. But
the Restic, I like that material. Mantic, I like that material because some people want
to make changes. Don't listen to all the whiners,
I took the cape. I made a cape out of a part of the mech. It's
fun to be able to reshape them. And they're getting better and better at getting detail in them.
And that's the thing.
They are switching to hard plastics mostly, but...
The big complaint was the detail wasn't as high caliber, and we're not looking for Infinity models. That's if we wanted Infinity models, we'd buy Infinity models. We are Mantic guys. We like... Yeah. The cost to quality ratio is perfect.
Yeah.
We like everything about it. But I do like to be able to move some guys' legs around, make them standing on stuff. I like to make
it's a nice turn to have look. Yeah. It's much harder with hard plastic. There's no bending involved. You have to cut to fix anything. So,
but we have this has been a bit of a tangent here.
That was a little tangent. So for Kickstarter 2, let's go back to that.
Yes, the Infestation.
What we know is Vermeen for sure. That is 100%. And they also announced that there's going to be extra models for each faction. So we can expect to have some more Plague coming up, some more Enforcers, some more
The Rebs Marauders. Got the Sorak Sword Spawn in this last one.
Yeah, they'll have more things like that. I'm sure we'll get some more, maybe a different type of Terraton or something. That'd be kind of cool. Male Terratons.
It's because they have the Warpath.
Mm-hmm. And Dreadball.
And it's limitless.
Yeah, they have a lot of options.
With the sprues they have, with minor alterations, with all you have to make a card... The world is your oyster.
And we were discussing this last night. Jack had a great idea. They already have all the bodies for Dreadball. All you do is make a sprues full of arms with guns and different weapon options. All those Dreadball teams can be repurposed as different factions. As long as they're not too Dreadball-y.
They don't have the armor.
Like we're saying the Crystallins or the two Sardins or whatever those guys are. Or the Vortex guys. Or,
yeah, there was a select
Or the Extreme few. Guys we're talking.
There was a select few that didn't look like they were wearing like a football armor or, you know,
pads. We've already transformed quite a few of ours in Dreadball models we've gotten into Dead Zone.
So imagine, if you will, another faction that was... Because I see the cost in making all new models, all new everything. We had discussed a faction of all the aliens that weren't in the Rebs, mm-hmm. creating like a UN or some sort of...
League of Nations kind of for space.
Type of thing, where you could just go, okay, Crystallins, like...
The two Sardins, or whatever they are.
And they're not as, Peacekeeper, the name Peacekeeper's already been taken, but as the function...
Of, like, current-day Peacekeepers, yeah. Blue Helmets.
Things like that. Like, the Crystallins, now that I've got a Strider and that, you know, I'm spent.
Now your next...
My cigarette. I'm smoking a cigarette.
You're waiting for Extreme for the Cristallins?
I'm... Because they've really touched a part of me that, you know, hasn't been touched in years.
And I'm also thinking for the...
And not in a gross sexual...
Yeah, way. Stop thinking that, people.
Stop it. Stop it. Settle down. That's not the kind of show we run here. I'm talking about like a...
In his deep, dark, black heart.
Yes.
It grew one size that day.
Yep. Made my shoes shrink. I don't know how that works. You know, science, I guess.
But he is green and furry, so what are you going to do?
Yeah, you're half right.
And he has a little dog. Oh my god, you are the Grinch.
Or Dorothy from The Wizard of Oz.
Oh, could be that too. Anyways, another thing I was thinking about infestation, it's very easily they could turn the vermin into zombie-like things, where you can play them as a NPC group, and you can have different units trying to go in and eradicate the vermin.
I'm hoping, I've always, from probably, because we're on the 24th podcast, plus we've done 0.5s, we've got about 30 podcasts under our belt, but I'm talking way back when we first heard about the robots, the mechanoids or whatever they're called.
Mechanites, yeah.
Mechanites? I always thought they would be the perfect AI.
Yeah, that's what I mean, like, now that they have the system with the zombies, they could... And AI decks, they definitely get these guys in as NPC factions.
Have you seen a sculpt for the Vermeen? Because again, going back to what we're discussing now, you are saying that infestation is Vermeen.
Ronnie's already said that that's what he was.
Oh, okay.
Said Vermeen. That's we know it's Vermeen.
Okay, well, I didn't know it was Vermeen. So have you seen the sculpt yet?
No.
Concept arts?
No, they haven't anything. Haven't had any.
No teasers? No.
We've shown what we know. They have some concepts of new battle zones, but nothing else.
Because...
As of this recording, obviously.
Little rat men, if a good sculpt, might be right up my alley.
Well, they have Vermeen in Warpath already, and they are little rat men.
So, you know.
And they're little rat men. Some of them have, like, gas masks on. And I think they have things to do with plague. Like, not plague, I mean disease.
You know I lure my gas masks and Prussian rats. Helmets and rats.
That's right. You could be onto something here.
I...
So that's the Vermeen, and they are a... I guess in the Warpath fluff, they are like a infestation, something that you're trying to eradicate.
So these creatures are probably flea-ridden, filthy sewer,
but they're intelligent. They're not
sewer rats.
Yeah, they're sewer rats, but they're intelligent. They're an intelligent race. They have weapons. They have
but technology. as an added bonus, I say in air quotes, to them is that they have this filthy, disease-ridden.
And they do use, I think they do use, like, poison bombs and things like that.
Well, I can't wait to see the sculpt, because it might be something interesting.
And we'll let you guys know when we see them, finally.
Yeah.
And there's other things we were thinking about this Kickstarter we were about to mention.
Well, we discussed maybe the new mats. We had discussed the Vermeen as the antagonist to, is either AI or...
The new plague.
Another faction you could buy and play, like, there's an Asterion.
There will be both, probably.
And we had then gone on to, and I don't know, it's as a gateway to Warpath.
Yes, because that's another thing Ronnie did mention, is you would like, if this succeeds, to expand it into doing some Warpath rules for the Dead Zone models. And
vice versa, and I think that's the final thing we had discussed about this was... ramping up the into things that would fit in the Warpath universe, bring Warpath into Dead Zone and vice versa.
Make Warpath until the next Warpath Kickstarter, like, give it some life. Kick some of those old tires.
And I think that's where we were, like, yeah, I think that is a perfectly reasonable way to go.
And for vehicle-wise, I hope they do some nice chunky APCs, some nice tanks, some flyers.
So you didn't to revisit the Wave 3. You didn't get a the Marauder Sunbot.
No, it's a little expensive. I was like, it was a little expensive
because
we wanted to put a Z in it.
And you had been toying, because it's a nice looking model.
It is a beautiful looking.
It is a nice, outside of what it represents and the, you know, the stigma attached to the orcs. The damn dirty orcs. Because they blew it all up.
And it was the price, because it is resin, and the price of it, they turned me off a bit, because it was a little expensive compared to the Striders. The stunt bot is the Strider. The regular Strider is £12.49, so it's about $24 Canadian. And the stunt bot is £20, so it's about $40. So it's a little expensive. So that's why That's why I kind of stumbled. I was a little put my first. Just like I was going to get another Pathfinder, but she was a little expensive.
Yeah, because you had a list of things. The Pathfinder was one of the ones I thought for
it's
sure.
It's resin. Resin. The moment you put something in resin, it doubles the price almost.
Mantic, you don't have to listen to me. I have brilliant ideas. You know it. I know it. But the resin.
I think resin's just not something they go with you.
Yeah.
They're definitely going more towards hard plastic now. That's their future. They want to be into the hard plastic, which
okay.
We think's a mistake because we do like the rustic, but
I like the rustic.
The rest of the paying public would rather prefer hard plastic.
Okay.
And well, after seeing the zombies and the detail in the zombies, I can't really complain. It is.
Okay. And I have yet to get up close. Yeah. I know you brought them. You brought them to the studio, and we're going to take a look afterwards and do a little show and tell. But
yeah, it is beautiful, the hard plastic. The detail is much better. There's no denying it.
Okay, so to wrap up, we had the Wave 3. That's done. It's over. You've purchased some things.
We have...
we're looking forward to the...
Kickstarter 2. Dead Zone
Kickstarter 2.
One. And get on it, even if you're only for $1, because you'll see stuff in that survey you want.
Hey... People who didn't get on even for $1 can't get a Strider for $20.
And they're kicking their butts right now. They're kicking themselves. So many people are just like, wow, I wish I'd gotten in on that kicker.
So just do it, and we'll.
It's $1. You're not gonna hurt. It's not gonna hurt you any, and you'll be happy later on when you're like, yeah, I should have gotten in on that.
And when that Kickstarter starts, we'll be keeping you up to date as to what's going on, what's new, what they're talking about.
Everyone will. We might have to do some 0.5s in there, just do some updates on the Kickstarter.
We've got some review material ready. We've got some things to review. We might have to, you know, get those out of the way quick to make room. Much like the unboxing, we're going to try and work our schedule around doing some really good...
Hopefully better than the unboxing.
Yeah, it won't be like the unboxing. That was bad.
So we'll take our last commercial break, and speaking of reviews, let's have a little review.
Okay, let's do that. Come on back.
We will now take a moment for an important message.
Welcome to The Strike Zone, a Dreadball podcast. Wait a sec, where's my notes? Oh, these guys, they always forget to bring it up here. Oh, just a sec.
Okay, 1, 2, 3, that's 24 successes against your Corporation Striker. I think my Orc Marauder...
I don't know, man. I think I could still do this. I got 3 dice. I could still do it. I could still make... never mind.
What are you guys doing? I need my notes. I should be recording right now, getting this promotion
out. Hey, boss. We just wanted to get a game of Dreadball in before things got a little crazy in the office here. No worries.
Man. Here we go. Here's the script right here. Let me just write it a couple more things down, make sure my spelling's good. Here you go.
Okay, let's take a look at this. The Strike Zone podcast is a podcast for the fans, by the fans, to celebrate all things Dreadball, is child-friendly and records twice a month on warmoreradio.com. And, okay, I think that's everything, guys.
Okay, just a minute. Can you let us just finish our last turn of the game? I've got a Goblin Jack who is going to try to score with 1 dice.
So you guys are on your last turn then?
Oh, no, it's not good because I have a 3-point lead right now. So if he gets the 4-pointer, then he actually will win, even though it's his last strike of the game and I can't do anything about it. Then the grip, then the breaks.
Okay, this is all good and everything, but we got to get going here, guys. Come on. We got a show to produce. Come on.
The Strike Zone podcast is sponsored by Build a Clone. Build your clones today.
So we're back, and let's have a review of some accessories. A little off. Usually we're doing terrain or some other things. Today we're talking about some accessories.
But I have one question.
Sure.
No one shout it out to us?
No shout outs this week.
Have we lost it?
Have we lost our love? Where is our rogues gallery?
Do we not get like a single?
Oh yeah, people. We always have conversations, but you know, mostly it's the same people. I didn't want to keep saying, "Hey, Heretic 30K," or "Hey, Voxman."
Adam Voxman, yeah. Yeah, I thank you for the shout-out in your last show, the September 20th show, Adam. You mispronounced my name. You pronounced it Rob Harper and Company. It's actually pronounced Jack. Thank you. I know it comes from the heart. Adam, I am looking forward to your new podcast. He's starting another one along with the Strike Zone. He's doing something called Mini Talk, and I'm a fan of the Strike Zone, even though we don't play.
Yeah, we don't even play Dreadball, but we love the show.
It, it, yeah, it, it may be literally, it means nothing to me listening to, but I like the format. I like everything about it.
And to know Jack, he doesn't just listen to stuff that it's not just, you know, if he's listening to it, there's something about that he wants to listen to. Like,
yeah. So
he's not just the kind of guy that listens to every podcast.
No.
He's got a limited amount of time listening to it.
So it's nice. I'm looking forward to mini talks.
So his name is Jack.
Yes. Adam, if it, Mr. ATT64.
Wow, he even knows his Twitter handle.
I'm a fan.
Anyways, yeah.
And so no shout-outs.
The Barber, we always like you there, buddy.
Okay, and then...
we're doing like a mini shout-out here.
A mini shout-out. Then that brings me to one giant elephant in the room. Community Pat. Worst Community Pat.
He's got his own show now. He doesn't need us anymore.
What?
Mantic Radio North America. Him and JP. It's a good show.
It's a good show, but the disappointment in your face is audible. You
well,
can hear it over
the... He did give us a shout-out on the show, so...
Oh, okay. Well, then, do we still do with Words with Pat or whatever?
Not this week. We haven't talked to him, but like I say, he's been busy.
I'm thinking... my vote was Chat with Pat.
Ooh, that's a nice one.
But I also had one, Waxing Nostalgic, from the desk of the memo pad that is Pat's life. Might be a little long. Okay.
And another bit of news we actually missed was that Kai has stepped down from being community organizer. Community Kai. She's stepped down. They wanted someone a little closer to Mantic HQ. So Chris has taken over for now. We'll see if they have to get some more people. But okay. We'll miss her because she definitely was on the Twitters and on the Facebook, keeping care of everybody.
Yeah. She was the social media expert, the wing of that. And working from home a great distance away is possible, but things change. And
and
the big question there is, much like certain other members that have left Mantic's fold, is she
dead to us?
People that are dead
to us? No, Kai didn't go to the Evil Empire, so
okay.
She's not dead to us. She's just retired.
Good luck, Kai, and whatever
endeavors.
She's gone
to the farm to run free.
That's what happened to my dog, Patches.
She's with Patches now.
Oh, you'll two have a great time.
Anyways, yeah, she's not dead to us like a certain other person.
No. Okay, well, good luck to whatever endeavors she gets up to, Kai. She's always good to us, and so...
Thank you for your service.
Yes. Okay, well, those are my two questions regarding the format of our show.
We had a mini shout-out there.
Chat with Pat.
We'll discuss it. We'll see if Pat ever talks to us again after this.
Okay. So now, on to...
To our review.
The review.
So, reviewing, as I was saying, accessories this time from Army Painter. Sent us some of their new product, which are some lasers.
Lasers. There was no sharks attached to those lasers.
No, we have to wait till we get our shark man from Extreme, the Red Ball Extreme. We can glue the laser onto side.
Does he look like King Shark from the Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Okay, well then you're getting one for sure then.
And these lasers. See, there's two different types of lasers. One is a regular pointer laser, which is great for line of sight picking. So you shine it behind a target or a shooter's head, say, and point it and see what's blocking, which is really useful for Dead Zone.
Yes, because there's a lot of... Dead Zone's rules involve a lot of...
True line of sight.
True line of sight, which makes you get... And it's by design. They want it that way, where you have to, like, get out of your chair, take a look, crouch down. Can I see? Can I not see?
Yep.
It's not a, into the square deal. It's a... So this is a laser pointer. It's just a laser pointer, but...
The beauty of it is it takes away any guesswork. You shine it, and it'll show you exactly what's straight across from him. You know, like you put it right in front of the guy's head, and you can just see exactly what he's...
Can I hit him with a direct fire? Yes, I can.
Yeah.
Done.
It's really useful, and we'll be using that one a lot.
Yeah.
The second one, which is still useful, but much more useful for other games such as Dust, especially Dust, and other games similar to that, to determine what is blocking line of sight once again, is a... It's a laser that shoots a straight line across the whole board and super bright. Like we were shining against a wall like 10 feet away and you could see it clearly.
And it has, at first I was like, well, the laser pointer does that. You can get a laser pointer anywhere. Like I at first was like, okay, well, it just seems like they're repackaging a cheap laser pointer and Army Painter's getting a big... making themselves middlemen, and I'm a bit jaded. I'm a bit skeptical. I come in asking questions. Then the laser one, you shoot it down onto the table, and it creates a line from one
infinity
end to the other.
To the other, yeah.
And if I'm telling you, you use this thing, and it has drop shadows where cover it creates a blocked area where the laser isn't because of cover, because of things. Yeah. And it is a...
It draws a perfect line from point A to point B.
Point A to point B. So even if a laser pointer isn't like the strictly laser pointer one, isn't your thing, this is... For a tabletop, not necessarily gridded like we do.
That's what I'm saying. More for like other games where line of sight, like blocking line of sight or even movement, can, you know.
Is that guy behind that truck? Can you see him at that angle? You just hold that thing up and you just turn it and yes or no.
Yep, it'll hit the truck or hit the guy. Or
again, you're not...
It's such a simple concept, and it took Army Painter to actually like implement these lasers as tools. And it's so smart.
Now, Army Painter is associated with a certain line of...
They're a paint company, mostly, yeah.
But they, you know, do they do bolt action or any...
No, they're pretty... Like separate, they do lines for other people. They do like a zombie side line and things like that. But
so it's
their own company. They're not associated with another company.
It's just something that people have obviously. There's a niche that they want to fill. Will we be using them?
Definitely, I think the laser pointer, the straight dot one. The other one for other games, maybe not so much for Dead Zone.
And see, I'm gonna have to break the tradition. That line one, I think. It has a lot of use in Dead Zone.
We'll see how it works. I definitely want to use the laser one because, well, it's for my sniper mostly. What I can see.
Oh.
I can finally, like, definitively go, yep, I can see that guy. I can't wait to be sniping.
And I'm thinking mortars.
For the, yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
But anyways, so.
But line of sight is just perfect.
So they are batteries included, laser pointers.
Nice quality, nice heft to them. Like, they don't feel cheap. They don't feel like dollar store lasers.
No. And that's, and what I was saying, okay, they're just repackaging cheap. Having held them, used them, it's something different.
Yeah, they're definitely higher quality than,
And it's...
And they're reasonable price, too. The prices are not ridiculous.
Then let's get on to the price. Because functionality, we've discussed, and it seems like something we'd use. You like the one, I like the other.
Yeah,
so
that's
looks
true.
Like, it looks like we'll be trying those bad boys out. And so the other thing is the price. Now, if it's... I understand that we also got a tape measure with it.
Yes.
A tape measure.
It's a nice hefty tape measure.
It is.
It's a tape measure.
That's something we could pick up anywhere.
And also it's not used
for
in
our
Dead
game,
Zone.
It's not important. We know 3-inch squares are 3-inch squares. We're not going to use a tape measure. But for the laser pointers themselves, what's the cost?
They're only $7 each, which is a pretty reasonable price.
$7 American?
Yes.
Okay. That's not that bad.
No, like for what they are, it's a good price. I think I would we were thinking about buying them before they sent them to us. So obviously we're into them.
We were.
Because Jack's obviously we've been talking about Jack getting his paint set. He was looking at an Army Painter Mega set or something like that.
Yes.
And I was like, well, if you're going to be ordering that, throw these in there for it.
Because it was interesting. And
almost literally a week later, we got these in the mail. I was like, okay, perfect.
Perfect timing.
Yeah.
So now functionality, we both agree that they're going to be useful.
Yeah, it will be definitely useful.
The pricing point is
reasonable. It's not ridiculous.
Reasonable, especially if you're making an order anyways.
Yeah.
That quick shade from Army Painter, apparently people just...
Yeah, I like it.
...go wild for. So if you're getting your quick shade, you're getting your dulling...
And Army Painter is one of the few companies that you order from them, it's cheaper than ordering from other people. We looked into it, and to get that mega set was cheaper to order from Army Painter US.
Yeah, to go direct.
Which is very odd, but we like
it. It's
the
way it should be.
It's the way it should be, yeah.
In a just world, that's the way it should be, but it's not...
So we're very happy with that. So if you're... Yeah, if look at armypainter.com. It's actually thearmypainter.com. Let me just make sure I look there.
When you do, you're
there.
Yes,
thearmypainter.com.
And you say, I'm getting my quick shade, I'm getting my dulling varnish. Why not?
And I like the Army Painter brushes. They have like a triangle shape and they feel really nice in your hand.
Okay. So
they feel sturdy.
Out of five, what would you give me? We haven't used them yet.
That's the only issue.
We haven't used them yet.
But just playing, we had some models on the coffee table here, and we were just shooting lasers at them and putting things in between. They worked great. There's no fault to them. Like, I would say good 4.5 out of 5. The only thing maybe not giving it a 5 would be that they're $7, but even that I don't think is a horrible price.
Okay, and then I'm going to give it... Again, we haven't played with them in a full game. For usefulness, I know what I would use them for. I know which one I would use for what, and I can see what you... When you said sniper, obviously.
Yeah, it's like a laser sight.
The light bulb went off over your head as soon as you saw that, I guarantee it.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give it... I'm going to give it 3.5 watch your eyeballs out of 5.
Another thing that actually the one that's a straight line might be good for is zombie rules. If the zombies can see you and come at you, like you could see what's, you know, blocking line of sight, so if the zombies can get at you.
That's true. The thing is, for the line one, The rules for Dead Zone don't mention corners as an obstacle for movement. They don't mention... so it's a very line of sight thing. For other games, though,
like I say, for Dust, it's corner to corner, and that's exactly what it's for.
That's exactly that.
Dust is perfect for. Like, if you play Dust, like, just we're just mentioning a random game, but Dust, since we played Dust, we know that corner to corner is the way to, it's the way to go for this, and it's this is perfect. All you do is put it on one corner, see if you can hit the other corner. If you can, without obstruction, clear shot.
And the written material that comes with the pointers themselves show a tabletop, like a World War II.
Battles or bolt action.
So it's a and they show why you would use it, and for a tabletop like a Kings of War
40K or any of those ones, open tabletop, no good.
Open tabletop, it would be really useful. So, and again, we'll play with it.
I'm still stunned that nobody else has thought of doing this. Like, I've never seen anywhere else except for Army Painter. I'm sure other companies probably have it, but, like, obviously Army Painter is the one we knew about. It's just such a good idea.
Yes. So we'll...
we hardly suggested this.
Yeah, again, you're picking
especially
up...
Especially the... Yeah.
You're picking up Quickshade anyways.
Yep, throwing one of these.
Throw $7 onto it and...
you get the laser pointer, yeah.
And try it out.
See which one you need, or you get both. $14 getting both is pretty cheap.
Again, I think both of us have different requirements for a laser pointer, and I think depending on your play style.
Yeah, it matters what you need.
Yeah.
But it's cool. Yeah, I see what you're saying. For mortar, you can see, you put it on top, and if it hits any of the models.
If illuminated on the head, I can see it. See?
That is a good point. Yeah, for mortars. I was thinking of why you need it for mortars, but now it makes sense.
And I should have, when you said, I like the laser pointer, my first thought should have, he has six snipers every time he plays. Either the guy's got a sniper rifle or a grenade, so of course that's what he's going to do it with.
Yeah.
I didn't put two and two together, so... Hey, and that's without even playing.
We just thought those off the top of our head. We're going to be using them, sure.
For sure.
And I love the fact they come with the batteries.
They'll be available sitting on the table, and we'll see how much we use them and how much legs this product has as a gaming.
I guarantee I'm going to be using constantly. Like, I don't know how many times I'm like, can I see that? Do you think I can see that? And then we both were like, I don't know. Especially the way Jack's not so much now, but the way his table used to be, you couldn't get on every side.
Yeah.
And now you can get around, but before it was like there was one side block, so you couldn't necessarily get in there, but with the laser pointer, you just put your hand over there, you know?
Boop.
And thank you, Army Painter, for sending us that.
Yes, they sent that to review. Does that mean we've started to make it, that people are just going to send us stuff?
They like us.
Is this hubris talking? But I think we're a big deal now.
That's hubris. You're flying too close to the sun there, Icarus.
Oh, my wax wings are starting to drip.
Icarus looking mother.
Yee.
Anyways, and if you're a company, hey, you listen, send us review things. We like reviewing.
Because not only do we take products that people that listen to our show and appreciate our show, and we do have quite a bit of listen. Rob always gets a little sheepish. His cheeks is flush a bit, and he starts, but the last time we checked, it was 16,000 people per month.
Well, it's 16,000 hits on the feed.
Okay, see, he's already backpedaling now, and that's just one of the feeds. So, I'm just saying.
Yeah, but still. We have quite a few, I'm sure it's a nice percentage of that, but it's the numbers keep going up.
YouTube, the website itself. Yep. Yeah, it's a thing now.
So, contact us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com if you're interested in sending us stuff for review.
Yeah, because until, the reviews, we've started as a kind of service when we didn't have a lot of news or battle reports or
it's getting
stuff.
To the point we might have to break it off.
And that's the thing, we might need another podcast. We've kind of discussed it.
Because it's we're getting a little backup on the reviews right now, so
we love Dead Zone, and we love it. It's the only game we play with any
regularity,
and we like Mantic, we like you guys, we want to be a Mantic podcast. But there's sometimes it's just fun to sit and shoot the breeze and talk about other things. And
I do like finding things and saying, Jack, look at this, look how cool this is.
Yeah, and I'd say, put your pants back on. Come on. This is in Walmart. Let's keep it civil. And so we were thinking about it. Like, time is a
issue,
but we'll see how that goes. But
yep.
Anyways, that was our review for the pointers.
Yep.
And we'll
Army Painter. Thank you.
We'll revisit that. And
And we still have to, we've got to play a game. This is, we have no time. We have to play a game with the battle system still. We have to put the battle system's terrain together.
Yes.
And to play an indoor game. We have to use army lasers, army painter lasers.
We have to use the AI deck.
AI deck, zombie rules.
And the zombie rules yeah. at the same time.
It's becoming a job.
This is becoming an arduous,
We just don't have enough time. Well, winter, good thing is, as Canadians, winter is a time of, hibernation.
Yes.
So it's yeah. our time will become a little bit more our own.
We've the leaves have changed. We've yeah. we've said goodbye to the balmy outdoors that is our 2 months of summer, and it's quickly becoming yeah. A time for solitude.
The killer frost is coming.
So we've got that to look forward to.
So in that time, in the dark times, when the sun no longer comes out,
when the dire wolves are walking the streets,
yeah, we'll have a lot more time to do some viewing and some playing,
and maybe another podcast. We don't know.
So until that day,
that long distant future,
we'll sign off here.
Okay, well, this has been the Dead Zone Podcast. My name is Jack,
and from Dead Zone the Podcast, I'm Rob.
See Frosty.
One love.
Here is your host, Rob, to tell you how to contact us here at the Dead Zone Podcast.
Thank you, Winter Rain. You can listen to us on our website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. You can email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at deadzonepodcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Join us next time for some more of the Dead Zone Podcast.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to laugh.
Bastro!
Hoi there, dirigible.
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Ooh, now that's some fine programming.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.